from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Are you waiting for me? Thanks. Thanks for not starting the party without me. Actually, you can't really start the party without me. That's kind of a problem. Here I am, voice god. I made it. We all made it despite Winter Storm Toby. And still in the New York City area, it is spitting some snow. But you know what? I was lazy today. Typically, I use snow as an excuse or as a reason to skip the gym and then just go out and shovel. But I didn't feel like it today. It was the first full day of spring, and yeah, I wasn't feeling it. So I didn't go out and shovel. I just let Princess Leia and the all-wheel drive do her work. And I stayed inside all day except for, I guess that's not entirely true. I didn't stay inside all day because I have a dog who loves the snow. Man alive, you'd think the snowball fights that we have were like the greatest thing ever. Better than any toy, any treat, any ride we could take. She loves the snowball fights.
I talked to dogs.
I don't know why I didn't do this before, but a couple weeks ago, I threw a snowball at her because she loves to stick her snout in the snow. She's always burying her face, nose first, into a pile of snow. Even if it's the only little pile of snow left in the neighborhood, she has to stick her nose into it. And so I thought, whew, I wonder what would happen if I smacked her in the face with a big, like, you know, gave her a whitewash or smacked her with a snowball. She went nuts. It was like someone lit her on fire. She starts racing around the yard, having a blast, waiting for me to throw some more snow at her. So I did go outside, actually, and I did play in the snow with Penny. And it was a special day for me and Pen. I won't tell you why. I'll let you check out my Twitter page. Yep, that's like Pen right there. Not quite that eager. She's 8 and a half, so she's relatively laid back, except for when she's running around in the snow, which is what we're doing. But if you check out my show Twitter, you will see the reason why Wednesday was a special day. I took Penny's picture. That one cost me about 10 minutes because she refuses to have her picture taken. I don't know what it is. The second I pull out my phone and I put it on camera, she doesn't care if I'm texting or if I'm doing a Snapchat video of the snow. But the second I point the camera at her or point the phone at her, yeah, she's not having it. She usually turns her head. So I have to cheat and drop words like treat and ride and vacation. I'm teaching her the word vacation. Don't worry, it's not a video of her doing that. But there is a special picture of Penny and a reason why Wednesday was a landmark day, a milestone day for the two of us. So you can check that out, A-Law Radio. And yeah, no problems with Princess Leia and the all-wheel drive. This is how I know that maybe I'm talking about my car and her name too much, is I get tweets from you all about my car and whether or not Princess Leia will be fine in the snow. You sent me a ton of tweets on Wednesday, and since I was being lazy and not shoveling, my excuse at first was, oh, I'll wait till after I eat. And then I was comfortable in the chair, and I was watching TV, and then basketball started, and then I had some emails to write, and then I really wanted to take a nap. So I waited until the Cavaliers and Raptors game was done, and then I took an hour nap. So, yeah, I didn't ever get out and shovel, and I just barreled my way out of the driveway when it was time to go. But anyway, I did see all of your tweets. You sent me, you're still sending me tweets about the best film soundtrack. This is now 5 days in a row, and you're still debating about the best film soundtrack of all time, both on Twitter and Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And in addition to that, you were having the whole conversation all day long about the, I know the song is so good. This could motivate me to go shovel even when I don't want to. I could blare it for the entire neighborhood. Yeah, that'd be some rapid shoveling. It's like speed shoveling. You were also sending me tweets about this idea of four, maybe five professional football leagues in North America and whether or not the fan base and the economy can support. And so that was a fairly interesting debate. I'm happy to spark that one up again if you still have some comments that you would like to make. And then in addition, you were sending me tweets about the storm and yada, yada, yada. Oh, and about our conversation with Iowa State All-American linebacker Joel Lanning. Thank you so much for your response to our interview on last night's show. We got tweeted by Iowa State Football, which was awesome. Almost 100,000 followers. And so because of that, the interview ended up getting a ton of traffic on our YouTube channel. Once we get to a break, I'll tweet it again, retweet it again. But it was really neat to get so many of you excited about Joel and hearing more of his story and also sharing it with other people so that they could hear more about Joel. And this is a critical stretch for him with his pro day coming up in Ames, Iowa. He wasn't invited to the combine, so this pro day could produce meetings with other teams, and he needs that. He's a great athlete. He's very intelligent. Consistently, as a senior at Iowa State, was playing both sides of the ball. He had touchdown passes, and he also had a sack of Baker Mayfield, and he's an All-American as a linebacker, and yet for some reason didn't get invited to the combine. And so this is really critical stretch for him, and the more people that know his story, the better. So please continue to share that. We're really proud of that interview, and it is very top of our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on YouTube. So that is the name of our show. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And we're going to have some fun tonight. We got a lot to get to. First of all, the latest from the NBA. The Spurs are still winning, but there's still no Kawhi Leonard, so we'll get the latest on their superstar. History for LeBron James. Kevin Love is a difference maker. I tweeted that, and people actually disagreed with me, but I don't know how you can say that. He was dropping dimes, all right, including a huge dime. His 1,000th career triple with 27 seconds to go in a battle against the top team in the East. And Dwight Howard, what? He actually admitted that he wanted the 30-30 game that he posted on Wednesday night, but it's all right. If I had a chance at history, I'd do the same. We also will look ahead to March Madness. We've got 16 teams still standing, and Thursday through Sunday, that field gets trimmed to the Final Four. And the boys of summer. Summer feels like such a foreign concept because it's still below freezing and global warming has skipped my neighborhood and really the New York area altogether. I think we got 7, 8, 9 inches of snow in some places up to a foot. I think at my house it was 9-ish, 8 or 9-ish. I don't know. I just know that Leia made it through it. I hit it into reverse and jammed it into reverse and boom, out she went. And I did commit a crime on my way to work. Because you're supposed to, apparently it's New Jersey law and maybe New York law too, you're supposed to clean off your car so that when you're driving down the highway, and I wasn't driving fast because there were speed restrictions, but when you're driving down the highway, you don't have large sections of snow go flying off the roof of your vehicle or off the hood of your vehicle. And like I said, I was being lazy and I didn't feel like cleaning off the car either. My gosh, what happened to me? I guess hump day was my lazy day. But thankfully there was no other traffic on the road. All right, I promise it's enough of the snow tales. There's plenty of sports to get to as well. Sam Darnold didn't have to throw in the snow in Southern California, but he did have to throw in a steady rain. Are you interested in the teams that sent the major contingents for the USC quarterbacks pro day? Now you remember he was the one of these top QBs, the one of the four QBs who did not throw at the combine. He decided that he would wait and he would get to his pro day and he would be on his own turf and he'd be with his own guys and that that would be a better situation for him. So he went ahead and he threw in steady rain in front of a ton of NFL GMs and coaches and scouts and even teams that aren't necessarily going to draft a QB and probably aren't seriously considering it and maybe not going to move up in the draft either to be in position to grab a Sam Darnold, but just wanted to be there to see this guy throw. And so there were coaches from all over the NFL, and he made 60 throws. He was impressive, according to people who saw him. I did not see him throw because I was sleeping. But the NFL Network was there, and they showed some of the highlights, and they also let you know who was watching. And the Browns had a major contingent in Southern California, Los Angeles, to watch Sam Darnold. He also had a private workout with the Browns, and he threw for them specifically and then met with Jimmy Haslam. Their owner was there. So Jimmy Haslam was in the stands along with the GM, John Dorsey, who's been making all these moves since he took over the job. Hugh Jackson was there, and also the new offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. So they had all the big wigs from Cleveland in Los Angeles. Maybe they just wanted a chance to get out of Cleveland and go to LA potentially, but it wasn't sunny. It was raining. There were also members of the Broncos and the Giants and the Chargers and the Jets and the Cardinals. But again, I feel like the Arizona Cardinals might have just been there to hang out and like, hey, if everybody else is going, I think I'll go too. And so Darnold has already had a couple of visits lined up. Probably will have more, especially if there are teams that have ideas about moving up in the draft, the way we saw a few teams trade and move up last year for quarterbacks. And I think all is forgiven now. All's forgiven that he didn't participate in the throwing portion of the combine. And that's good. I think that's fair. Is more, I know life is not fair, but I think that's fair. When it comes to these quarterbacks, they can only hurt themselves at the combine. In my opinion, they can't really help themselves. The expectations are so high and they're not optimal conditions. So you know what? If you want to be the guy who will risk the wrath of the NFL scouts and the NFL itself and not throw at the combine, but you go out to your pro day and you prove yourself, I think you can call it even. And so Sam Darnold has had his opportunity now and will continue to do workouts with teams that are interested, though he didn't reveal which teams, other than we just know the Browns had a private workout and a meeting with him around his pro day. So big Browns contingent, but lots of other people on hand to see Sam Darnold throw in the rain. I'm sure he wasn't shirtless like Tim Tebow running in the rain a few years ago when he was with the New York Jets. I still have no idea why that happened or why Eric Musselman took off his shirt and carried it into the huddle with him after Nevada won and he knew it was going to get champagne on. What's up with the shirtless stuff? So we're going to hear from Sam Darnold. He sounds like a millennial. One of his sound bites, oh, so millennial. But you're going to hear it anyway because it's fun. And we'll also talk March Madness of all kinds. We're going to spend some time on spring training in Major League Baseball. And coming up in 20 minutes, Bay Area sports. There's a lot going on there. I mean, there are a lot of places around the country where you could point to and say, wow, their sports headlines are popping. So Houston's one of those areas. Defending World Series champs, best record in the NBA with the Rockets. You know, thinking about the Texans and Deshaun Watson coming back, and they've just picked up Tyrann Mathieu, and the defense is getting healthy. But I would say the Bay Area is in a similar position right now. Not only are the Warriors the defending NBA champs, and they've got some injuries to navigate, but the Niners have been moving and shaking in free agency. John Gruden and the Raiders have made a couple of moves. Not sure how much better they got, but considering that 2 years ago they were a double-figure win team until their QB got hurt, they were on a great path. I'm not sure they needed to make a ton of moves. But then you think about the Giants and all they've done to try to get back to their winning ways again. There's a lot happening in San Francisco. So we're going to spend some time in the Bay Area and talk about the major sports headlines there. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Check out the picture of Penny that I posted. It was a big day for us. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And straight ahead, we'll dive into the night in the NBA. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope that you had no trouble, that you kicked Winter Storm Toby's rear end to the curb. It's CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Another big night in the NBA. They are all big nights in the NBA now as we get close to the end of the regular season. So we're down to 10 games remaining, 10, 11 games remaining for most teams. And it's that time where if you didn't feel the sense of urgency before, well, then you should, because there's a lot of jostling for playoff position behind the top two in the East and the top two in the West who've already locked in their spots. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's start with a little history for one Dwight Howard, shall we? Man, there's a lot you could say about this man, his career, maybe wasted opportunities, but when he wants to be a beast in the paint, he can still dominate.
Number three.
Lamb at the top. Lamb follows Howard into the lane, puts the soft layup off the back of the iron. Rebound! Howard and a dunk on the way down. Oh, my. 77-59. That looked great. Walker in the front court, a three-pointer away from tying this ball game up. Into the paint, it goes to Howard. Howard guarded by Acey. Backs Acey into the paint, turns, and he scores. 103-102.
Maybe you don't care about a game between the Hornets and the Nets at this point in the season, but Dwight Howard delivers a 30-30 game. Steve Martin with the call from Brooklyn as the Hornets rallied from 23 points down against the Brooklyn Nets and were able to get a big victory. And Howard, the reason why, 32 points, 30 rebounds, and he was actually 12 of 21 from the free throw line. And he knew, even though some guys will tell you they're not paying attention to stats or they have no idea, Howard definitely knew.
When I had 29, I was just like, man, I told AC, I was like, man, I'm not selfish, but if I got a chance to get a rebound, please don't foul me. And I got it, you know. So just like I said, man, I'm thankful. Man, it was a tough night, but just very thankful.
On Fox Sports Southeast, Dwight Howard talking about the first 30-30 game in the NBA since 2010 and the first 30 rebound game in the NBA since 2012. But Kevin Love was the last guy to have at least 30 points and at least 30 rebounds in 2010. So Dwight Howard, he still got it every now and then. Age catches up to all of us, but every now and then you can shake off father time. You can give him some shade. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. San Antonio Spurs are trying to put together a late season run after they dug quite a hole for themselves with a 3-11 stretch. Remember, their annual rodeo road trip did not go well, and they had sunk toward the bottom of the Western Conference playoff standings. And they're still now middle of the pack, but they're playing better, and there is a specific reason why. Actually, there are two reasons why.
Number two.
Frazier, mid-post, Aldridge. Aldridge against Mahaney. Back to the basket, on the block. Takes a baseline. Off-balance jumper, good. 27 points for LaMarcus Aldridge. I said off-balance because he went off one foot, a la Dirk Nowitzki.
One big reason that the Spurs are successful is because of the way LaMarcus Aldridge is playing right now. 27 points, 9 rebounds, and he's averaging about those numbers during this 5-game win streak. If you're looking for some history for the San Antonio Spurs, they've locked up their 21st straight winning campaign, which was already an NBA record, and they have now extended it. They're 42-30. They will have a winning record, regardless of their playoff position, when the season is over. 21 consecutive winning seasons for Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. So LaMarcus Aldridge coming on strong. He's the catalyst for the offense very often. But Greg Popovich will tell you that it's the defense that really has spurred this latest run in San Antonio.
I think we lost enough to refocus, as simple as that sounds. But sure, we talked about it. We worked on it in shoot-arounds when we didn't have practices. And you know, they're an intelligent group, and they realize that if we don't get that back together, we got nothing. Because we slip out, you know, offensively. Sometimes we can't score for 4 or 5 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. So the defense is important. Tonight they played great defense, did a great job, and followed up with a board, and that won the game for us, you know, playing the defense that we did.
The Spurs are now tied with the Pelicans, 42-30. They're locked in at 5th and 6th in the Western Conference playoff standings. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. That brings us to the game of the night. Maybe another playoff preview. This would be consecutive nights with potential playoff matchups. And the Toronto Raptors tied a franchise record with 79 points in the first half against the Cleveland Cavaliers. 79 points. At the end of three quarters, it was 99-98. And then LeBron happened, and LeBron has his running mate back with him.
Number one.
LeBron is at the left point. Bothered by Siakam, gets to the foul line, down the lane, feeds Love for a quarter three. He knocks it down. LeBron James with his 16th assist of the night sets up Kevin Love, and with 27 ticks to go, the Cavaliers have opened up a 128-124 lead. DeRozan's looking to baseball one ahead to a teammate. Finds Ibaka, gets it back. 3 seconds left over the timeline. Fires up a long contested three. Missed it. LeBron may have gotten a piece of it. DeRozan thought he got fouled, and this game is over. The Cavaliers overcome a 15-point halftime deficit as they take out the Eastern Conference leading Toronto Raptors by the final of 132-129.
I think it's definitely a big win for us. As I mentioned, coming back from a 12-day road trip, and you know, we got to get another one Friday, but this is big for us as far as having confidence and knowing that we're never out of a game. And they're a great team.
Kevin Love, 23 points, 12 rebounds in his second game back. LeBron James, 35, 17 assists and 7 rebounds. Oh, and no turnovers, which has never happened since the NBA started keeping stats with turnovers. It's never happened that a guy's had at least 15 assists and no turnovers, but that's LeBron James. He dominated the second half, and maybe the Cavaliers send a message to the Raptors. John Michael with the call on the Cavs radio network. I enjoyed listening to the comeback from the Cavaliers and potentially hearing what this could be like in the postseason. So another big night in the NBA. We're going to get to some Warriors injury updates and more as Golden State seem like they're all that concerned about grabbing the number one seed in the West, still 4 games behind the Rockets, and they're without 4 starters. So what gives with the defending NBA champs? We'll head to the Bay Area next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Rebound, Draymond Green. Draymond now chased by LeVert. Throws to the trailing Curry for another three. Yes, indeed! 83-78. And just like that, Oracle is rocking.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's the last season for Oracle, but will Oracle end up with another championship run? Will we see these Warriors as the defending champs get back to the NBA Finals for a 4th consecutive spring? Remains to be seen. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. They sure do have a lot of questions and injuries that they have to navigate with the season winding down. We're looking at the end of one of our polls that talks about best backcourts in the NBA. So if you haven't voted yet, find it on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. I think that you might find the results surprising, at least to this point. So cast your vote. Don't forget that it's there. And we're pleased to welcome Marcus Thompson now from The Athletic, covering the Bay Area as a columnist. So he's changed jobs since the last time we had him here on the show. Let's start with the injuries to the Warriors. We first heard that Steph might be back on Friday against the Atlanta Hawks. How does he look?
Steph today at practice was running line. He's fine.
Nice.
First off, how many NBA players actually run lines anymore? That was like he was doing a high school drill in front of us. It was weird. But he's like running lines and then taking shots. He's fine. He probably could have played last week. The Warriors are just being extra cautious. I know Kevin Durant, he won't be out for long. I actually think, Amy, to be honest, I think this might be good for them because not only will they, you know, be healthy going in, but they also, like, are back, believe it or not, as kind of an underdog. Think about that. They got Kevin Durant. They haven't been able to play this card for at least 2 years, maybe three, because 73-9, nobody was calling them the underdog then. It's been a long time since they could say, oh, you really think we're going to lose. And now everybody's like, Houston's better. Houston's going to beat you. I think they've gotten that chip on the shoulder, the us against the world mentality back, which might actually help them in the long run.
All right, so you mentioned Steph. You mentioned KD. What about Klay and Draymond?
Well, Klay actually wanted to keep playing, but, you know, cooler heads prevailed. I saw him, like, after they said it was fractured, right? I'm thinking, like, wow, I want to see his thumb. Mm-hmm. Like, I bet it's, like, huge. Man, it was nothing. He's, like, reading the paper. And I'm like, where's the broken thumb here? And, like, Klay could play through this if he wanted to. But, again, they're being extra cautious. Draymond, you know, he took a shot to the nether regions. Mm-hmm. And I think he just used that, like, hey, I'm going to get a day off. He might be the worst of them all, actually, because he's got, like, a shoulder situation that hasn't gone away and it's probably not going to go away. So he's going to be playing injured. But the rest of them, I think they should be good come, you know, April 10th when the playoffs start. They should be fully healed up.
So this is more about giving them a little extra time and not as much worried about grabbing that number one seed in the West.
Absolutely. I think they know if they're healthy and they're playing well, it doesn't matter where they play. The Warriors, a Steph Curry-led team, has won a road game in every single series they've played in. They just, this is what they do. They've gone 18-10 on the road under Steve Kerr in the playoffs, which is insane, right? If you break 500 on the road, you're doing well. They're 18-10. I think they feel like they can go into any stadium and win a game. And the way to do that is to be healthy. So they prioritize health. Also, here's a little interesting component. Steve Kerr's been saying this since training camp, how hard the fourth year is, right? And we've seen it happen. We saw Miami kind of fall apart the fourth year. The Lakers have fallen apart the fourth year. George just left, right? He got to the fourth year. He left both times. And I think Steve knew, like, if we could just survive with nobody fighting, like, no major injuries, I think he just knows if we survive, we'll be in good shape because it's really hard to do that fourth year together. And I think so far they kind of feel like the finish line is there. Nobody slapped anybody yet, right? So nobody's got arrested. There's not like these major stories about how they're falling apart in the locker room. They don't listen to Curry. Like, they've got through all of this year without those major things we typically see from a team that's been together for 4 years. Like, even LeBron leaves after 4 years, right? Like, it just gets bad.
Marcus Thompson with the Athletic Bay Area, a columnist who's been covering the Warriors for a long time. Of course, is the author of Golden, which charts the rise of Steph Curry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It's been interesting because the Warriors have changed their bench again. They've done that multiple times over the course of these last few years, plugged in different parts as other guys have gone to bigger contracts elsewhere. They just have had to worry about the money and making everything fit. So who are the rest of the Warriors, and are they ready for a run to the NBA Finals potentially? And obviously we're taking Iguodala out of that because everybody knows who he is.
You know, that's one of the big question marks. So they went out and said, hey, we need some shooting off our bench because once Steph and Klay are out of the game, like, our shooting really struggles. So they went and got Nick Young and Omri Caspi. Neither one of them have been consistent in making outside shots. So that's kind of been a struggle for them. What do they get points off the bench? Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, they're like, you know, the OGs. So they've been kind of pacing themselves. Right, they're not going hard for 82 games. They're like, all right, holler at me when the playoffs start. So we're starting to see Andre Iguodala and Livingston kind of pick it up. So you got those two. They got another OG and David West, who's 37, mm-hmm. right? He's having one of the best seasons of his career, but he's also like, all right, check me in with the playoffs. So they've got a few of those guys. JaVale McGee is a spot guy who sometimes looks incredible. But the bench is really a question mark, and a lot of these guys have not played together under the playoff atmosphere. Nick Young hasn't been in this before. Omri Caspi hasn't been in this before, right? So Kevon Looney, who's one of their young bigs, who's, like, looking really good, he's never been through this before. So we kind of get to see what they really have. I have a feeling, Amy, that they're going to have to change it next year. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, gosh. Again, we're going to shuffle the deck again. So let's talk about some of the other stories that are in the Bay Area, and I'd like to know how they compare with the Warriors, because the Warriors have a big fan base now, not just in the Bay Area, but across the country. But what's the bigger story, Warriors getting set for the postseason, or what the Niners have done to bring in some pieces around that Jimmy G centerpiece?
It's a tough call. Like, Warriors are king, right? And what really helps them is that it's just off season so far. It's just free agency. Come August, right, when it's time for Jimmy Garoppolo to take the field, this might be a tough call because Jimmy Garoppolo is like a rock star out here. Like, he's played, what, 6 games with the 49ers.
Crazy.
And all of a sudden, he's like Joe Montana, right? Like, and I'm not even joking. They treat him like Joe Montana.
Why?
He's the next coming.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, like, that's how, you know, the thirst is real out here. The 49ers haven't been good for a while. When you've had Blaine Gabbert and Brian Hoyer as your quarterback for 2 years, like, it can get pretty thirsty. But, you know, he does look good. I don't want to, like, he does look really good. He looks like one of those guys where it's like he has the it factor. He knows how to make plays. He looks good throwing the ball. And the way his teammates rally around him, it's just, you could tell it's just natural. All of a sudden, Marquise Goodwin breaks out as soon as Jimmy Garoppolo steps in there. All of a sudden, the line blocks better. It's just weird. Carlos Hyde was better. Everybody was better once he got under center. He seems to have that it factor. Now, what happens when the NFL says, all right, now we're going to scout you, Jimmy? Like, is that the same? Is he ready for what he's about to come? We don't know. Did he have enough around him? We don't know. But as of right now, that dude is like Joe Namath and Joe Montana and Kanye all rolled in one.
How do you think Richard Sherman fits in the Bay Area?
Did you see the red suit?
I did.
Oh, man, you can't fit better than that red. Like, that was – I'm a 49er, right? You know, here's the funny part about Richard Sherman. So many people hated Richard Sherman out here because,
yes,
obviously with the Legion of Boom, he tormented the 49ers. He cost them a trip to the Super Bowl, that deflection, you know, in Seattle, the Crabtree on the fourth down fade. I think, though, a lot of people secretly love Richard Sherman. He's one of those guys, when he's on the other team, you hate him. When he's on your team, you love him.
He's just
so
cool.
I think they really love him. Yeah, right?
He's like a cool dude.
How do you not like him? He's going to say what he means. He's going to not shy away. He's going to play hard. He's the 49ers version of Draymond Green. Like, if Draymond Green is on your team, you love him. Richard Sherman is that guy because he's going to give you everything he has. So I think all they're doing, like, at first it was like, oh, I hate him. But do I kind of really love him?
Yeah.
I think I might really love him. And then he showed up with the red suit, and it was over. We love him.
He felled the Bay Area with one red suit. That was it. Marcus Thompson is with The Athletic now in the Bay Area, so a new gig for him as a columnist. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. That brings us to baseball and spring training, and I know the passion for the San Francisco Giants because I have fans bombard me from our Bay Area affiliate all the time when it's Giants baseball. They made some big moves in the offseason, so how would you gauge the excitement level as the Giants get close to opening day?
You know, I feel like, you know, the Giants have this even year magic, and it is 2018, which is an even year. And I know it skipped 2016. It didn't really work out. But around here, it feels like the even year magic is back. And again, it's early. It's March, right? So we'll see. But the what they needed was some pop and some bullpen and some starting help. They got two of the three. So we don't know about the starting rotation. Obviously, they have Madison Bumgarner at the top. Maybe Jeff Samardzija turns out to have a good year, right? Cueto looks pretty good as a number two sometimes. We'll see what happens with that. But you throw Andrew McCutchen and Evan Longoria in a lineup that already features Buster Posey, mm-hmm, and Hunter Pitt and Brandon Crawford and Joe Panic, and they look like they might be able to score enough. And with the Giants, all you have to do is get to the playoffs. That's it. You get to the playoffs, you have one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time, and you have Buster Posey, who's a Hall of Fame catcher, and you have Bruce Bochy, who's like Yoda, right? So I think they feel like it's just get to the playoffs and then let's see who can take out Madison Bumgarner, right? And this feels like a year that they can actually do that. They still have to deal with the starting pitching, and there still might be some question marks about their bullpen, but I think they made a couple moves where the optimism is actually real this time of year.
Marcus, how did you know that if you dropped a Yoda reference on my show, you would instantly become my favorite guest of all time? Yoda is one of my favorite movie characters in the entire universe.
You know, I do listen to you pretty regularly, especially driving home from Warrior games. Our relationship has spanned several years of me in the car late at night driving home.
Yes.
You know, in the Bay Area, nobody can live in the city. When I was poor, I had to live out an hour away in the suburbs. It was just me and you on the freeway.
That's what I like to hear. All right, Marcus, let's see. You can follow him on Twitter at Thompson Scribe. There's also the link to his new website now, theathletic.com/Bay Area, as he's a columnist. He's covering pretty much everything, but can't wait for the playoffs to start in the NBA. It's great to catch up. We will do it again soon.
Absolutely. I look forward to our 11:30 midnight late night calls talking playoff basketball. Let's do it, Amy.
We absolutely will. That's the perfect time because when you're talking about the West Coast games, which, of course, the Warriors have been a major centerpiece in the NBA playoffs the last few years, that fits our schedule perfectly. We go on the air 11 o'clock Pacific time, 11 o'clock Bay Area time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. With a quick way that you can save money, you can switch to GEICO. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at GEICO.com. So I have a little homework for you, if you don't mind. We have changed channels on SiriusXM, and I want to know from one of our satellite radio listeners, if you happen to be in between affiliates, and so you're not in a city or in range of one of our great affiliates, I would like you to check out channel 206 on SiriusXM. There isn't a Sirius channel and an XM channel and a different channel for the app. It's reportedly, allegedly, channel 206 everywhere. We've got our own channel now on SiriusXM and the app. We're staying put at channel 206. Please let me know if you can hear us on channel 206 on satellite radio. Send me a tweet, A-Law Radio, or check out our Facebook page. Thanks for tuning in. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.